Identity should not be a competition. That is what sports are for. Hello, everyone. Today you're listening to the Communication, Gender, and Identity podcast, a place where we discuss hot topics related to gender in the modern world. Why are women expected to perform at the same level as men, yet they are compensated at a highly different rate? My name is Sean Chappell, and today I will be discussing athletes' identity and the inequality between men and women within sports. Being an athlete my entire life and an avid sports fan, this topic is as important to me, and I hope this podcast is better able to shed light on these issues. In this podcast, I will focus on three main ideas, which includes raising awareness of the fact that inequalities between men and women in sports exist, give examples of inequalities that have happened and been symbolic in the past, and the social construction of identities within sports. In this episode, I will interview two athletes to get their perspective on these topics, as well as share my experience while playing competitive sports my entire life. And welcome to another episode of my Communication, Gender, and Identity podcast, a place where we discuss hot topics related to gender in the modern world. Today, I'll be interviewing my good friend Nicole to hear some of her experiences while playing sports her entire life up into college. Hey, Nicole, thanks for taking time out of your day to do this interview. How are you doing today?
Thank you so much for having me, Sean. I'm doing well and happy to be joining you in this podcast today.
Of course. So, Nicole, can you kind of tell me how long you have played sports and at what level you did?
Of course. So, I played competitive volleyball for over 10 years. For most of my playing time came from when I was in middle school and high school, though. This is when I think I was the most dedicated and committed to playing.
Great, thanks. So tell me a little bit about your experience while playing and kind of what your overall opinion is after playing that long.
Well, like I said, I did play for almost 10 years with my most competitive years during middle school and high school. I love being a part of my team and everything that surrounded being an athlete. My overall experience was amazing and I do miss playing so much. Like every athlete, I had my ups and downs, but there isn't a day that goes by where I would go back and change a thing.
It's so amazing that you're committed for that long. Tell me now, do you think, or maybe can you remember a time that you were ever at a disadvantage while playing sports, being that you're a female?
Oh, without a doubt, Sean. There are many times that I think my gender, or all females for that matter, are at a disadvantage. Every male sport in my high school seemed like they had more funding, drew more interest, and were just treated with more respect. Anytime the captain of the football team walked down the hallway, everyone would stop and try to talk to him, yet I was the captain of our team and no one seemed to care. Not that it is a popularity contest at all, but you could just feel the difference, you know?
Definitely, definitely. So with that being said, kind of how did this make you feel when you recognized these things?
Honestly, it just kind of frustrated me. I knew this was the norm for high school, so I try not to overthink it. I just kept my head down and tried to work harder, using people's ignorance as motivation.
Very cool, very cool. So you kind of have already answered this for me, but I want to ask you directly. Do you feel like inequalities in sports between men and women is a prevalent thing this day and age?
Oh, yes, without a doubt.
I agree. So kind of tell me, what changes would you like to see in athletics that would be a change in the right direction to achieve kind of inequality between men and women?
Well, I think I do have a couple things that come in mind right away. The first, I think we should be treated equally. We are all expected to perform as well as men, yet we are only praised half as much. The second thing, I think, is the wage gap. It is sick how large the wage gap between men and women is in professional sports. And I think once that is fixed, the respect will soon follow behind.
I agree 100%. And this is some very good insight. Thank you so much for joining me today, Nicole. I really enjoyed your take on these topics, and I think you shed some great light on some issues we have in sports pertaining to gender. I think this is a step in the right direction to achieving the equality that we both desire.
Well, I am glad I can be a part of that, and thank you so much for having me, Sean.
Of course. Welcome back to the Communication, Gender, and Identity podcast,
a place where we discuss hot topics related to gender in the modern world. Thank you again for joining me today. Now I'd like to introduce my next guest, Theo. Theo will help us look at another diverse topic, being that social stigmas affect the way athletes are portrayed and behave. Theo, thank you so much for joining me today. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, Sean. How are you?
I'm just living the dream. So I filled you in a little bit about this podcast before we had started. So going off that, can you tell me a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, of course. I'm 27 years old and I work as an electrical engineer here in Tampa. I was born and raised here and I lived here until I went away to college. After college, I came back to the area to find work. I really love it here and I can't see myself living anywhere else. I played soccer since I was 5 years old, and after a very successful career in high school, I actually got a scholarship to go play in college, where I played for 4 years and graduated with my degree.
Man, that's awesome and really, really cool. So kind of going off the Tampa topic, where are some places that you like to hang out?
I really like walking the Riverwalk. My boyfriend and I enjoy walking it and checking out all the bars and the entertainment. We go down there probably twice, maybe three times a week.
Really cool. I also like the Riverwalk. I think it's one of the cooler spots in town. To get a little more personal, can you tell me more about your experience in sports while being homosexual?
Yeah, it's an interesting question, Sean. Something you should know about me is that I knew I was gay since I was 15, but I didn't come out until I was in college. And what I can say is that being a gay athlete in the closet and being an open gay athlete, both are challenging in their own ways.
That's a very interesting perspective. Do you think you could tell me kind of why those experiences were different?
Yeah, I could talk for days about it, actually. But to keep it short, in high school, I wasn't open. I felt like I had a pressure to show more masculinity than I would like to and what it's more natural to me. There was serious pressure to be masculine, not deviate it since I was playing a sport. And what made it worse was that I was in the spotlight. Anytime I thought about a game I did good or scored the winning goal, I felt, was I being straight enough for the papers or for my teammates or for my coaches? It was tough, but it was my own choice, and I had committed to that choice for so long, it almost became real to me.
That is very interesting, and I appreciate you sharing that with me. So now can you fill me in on kind of your college experience and how that was different than your high school?
Yeah, it was two very different experiences. There were a lot of positives about being out, but there were still challenges. So to start from the beginning, when I got to school, my coach had already known that I was gay. He and I had made a connection over the interview process, and I trusted him enough to confide in him before he offered me the scholarship. I felt more honest about it, and it was a choice I had to make. Once I had officially committed, he told me that I should tell my team. He believed that a team is a family, and a family should accept everyone for who they are, but I had never done that before, and I was very nervous about it. Reaching ahead, this coach was, or still is, a big part of my life, and I contemplated the idea for a long time, but eventually I decided it was the right thing to do, and with my coach's help, I came out to my team. It was a crazy experience, and it felt really awkward, but it did bring a huge relief. I realized that this is what it felt like to be open to the guys, and little did I know that being open would bring its own types of pressures.
Very, very interesting. Again, thank you for sharing with me. So kind of what I'm hearing is essentially you had both pressure within high school and college. Although the pressure was different, you still essentially had some sort of pressure to behave or perform differently.
Yeah, that was definitely true. In high school, I felt the pressure to overcome my homosexuality. And in college, I felt the pressure to always be the best. I had to be better to almost excuse my homosexuality. And That's something I'm still working on today with myself, if I'm being honest.
I got you. I'm sure that's tough. And again, I appreciate you sharing. So one thing I do want to ask you personally, how do you think gender plays a role in sports, if at all?
Well, even being gay and playing sports, I was either treated differently or felt like I had to be different to be accepted. Although I don't know what it's like to be a female and be an athlete, I'm sure they have experienced the same types of things that I have and feel the same types of things about sports. We see it all the time still today. Women are expected to perform at the same level as men, but are treated and even compensated differently.
I agree. So thank you. That is some very useful insight. My next question is now, can you kind of tell me how you wish you might have been viewed while playing sports, kind of what you wish your teammates might have seen you as?
Oh, wow. Honestly, I just wish I was treated the same as everyone else, really. I know my level of skill was there, and if I was a heterosexual male, I would have been viewed very differently. It's hard to think that just because of my sexuality, I was treated sometimes as an outcast, and yet would perform for my team like any other teammate did.
Yeah, I can only imagine. I'm sure that was a tough predicament to be in constantly. I know how long you played sports and how committed you were, so I'm sure that was tough. But kind of while you were playing, how were you able to overcome these adversities and, let's say, social stigmas that you ran into?
Like I said earlier, in high school, I wasn't openly gay. So I combated social stigmas by acting and essentially being more quote-unquote masculine. Then when I went to play in college, I put an extra pressure on myself to train, play harder than everyone else, so my commitment or talent wouldn't be questioned because I was a homosexual.
Yeah, I'm sure that was tough. And again, thank you for sharing both your challenges that you had in high school and college. Kind of my final question for you is, in your opinion, of course, what changes would you personally like to see in social stigmas in not only athletes, but in athletics as a whole?
Honestly, Sean, the real solution comes down to acceptance, not just in sports, really in all of society. Everyone deserves to feel accepted by their peers, and that will lead to more people being able to accept themselves for who they are. And I think that's the root cause of most of our problems.
That is a very provocative and great point you just made, Theo. And again, I just want to thank you for taking some time to come on my podcast and share a little bit about your experience.
Thanks, Sean. It's been a lot of fun.
Welcome back to the Communication, Gender, and Identity podcast, a place where we discuss hot topics related to gender in the modern world. Thank you again for joining me today. For my conclusion of this podcast, I'll be speaking from personal experience. A little bit about me is, you know, I've played sports my entire life and had followed them very closely as well. With having this passion, I've been around sports my whole life, and I've kind of seen the changes occur over time within youth sports as well as professional. I know personally how much time and effort it takes to be an athlete, and especially a student athlete at that. Probably one of the toughest jobs anyone that is just entering college can have. And that's whether if you're male or female, because as many of you already know, the commitment level that is required for both male and female athletes is 100% the same. So although it's very clear after the first two interviews that females may be viewed and treated differently, they are 100% expected to play and perform at a very high level, just as the men are. And this is something that I experienced and I kind of spectated while being in high school. You know, anytime the male teams had an away game, we got a charter bus and the females always had to drive themselves. So I thought this was very interesting to kind of see the amount of funding that we received and the little bit that they got. Yet we were both expected, again, to perform at the same level and, you know, at the end of the day, bring, you know, the trophy home for our school. So that was one of the main issues that I saw while personally playing sports. And then, of course, just the typical, you know, the boys are always better than the girls. You know, it's you kick like a girl or you punch like a girl. And it's just automatically assumed that males are stronger, better, and more athletic. But speaking from personal experience, I know females that are far better at not only one sport, but many sports than I am, and better than a lot of my friends are, yet we never hear about these people and they're never spoken about. And then kind of transitioning into professional sports, there's the Venus Williams issue that happened in Wimbledon, when essentially she was protesting the wage gap between male and female tennis players. And I thought this was kind of a wonderful whistleblowing event on this terrible wage gap. And I thought it was very bold of her to kind of pull off this protest and use her spotlight, not only for herself, but for all female athletes as a whole. I thought that was very courageous of her. And it's just interesting to see that someone with so much fame and who clearly is doing well when it comes to finances still thought that it was such a big issue, it needed to be discussed not only in this nation, but really worldwide. And it just really, I thought that was the greatest example kind of from my experience of following sports that I could pull that really shows how great these female athletes are trying to change the stigmas surrounding female athletes. And kind of another great thing to talk about is the U.S. Female soccer team. They have won a World Cup. The men didn't even make it to the World Cup. They didn't qualify last year. And yet the women are paid substantially less than the men. And clearly bring home more hardware, or, you know, they've won the elusive World Cup title twice and yet they're paid less. So if men are better than women, how come our men's team has not won a World Cup or even at that point come close to it? So again, I thought that was very interesting. So I think a few steps that need to be taken are, one is just kind of the social stigmas and how we view female athletes. I think we need to recognize as a whole how much time and effort they put in, just as much as males do, and kind of how little they're rewarded when it comes to being paid. But I know in high school you're not paid, so the funding I think should be split right down the middle, where male and female teams as a whole get equal amount of funding for their program. And I think these are a few small steps that are easy to take that will definitely move us in the right direction. And that will conclude my Communication, Gender, and Identity podcast, a place where we discuss hot topics related to gender in the modern world. I want to thank you one last time for joining me and listening in today. I kind of hope you were able to take 3 points away from this podcast and see that I was trying to raise awareness for the fact that inequalities between men and women in sports exist. I hope you saw the examples with Venus Williams and the U.S. Women's National Soccer Team here in the United States fighting to reduce and equal the wage gap within professional sports. And then also with the help of Theo, we learn kind of the social construction of identities within sports and the effects that has on not only females, but all other athletes who aren't heterosexual. So with that being said, I want you to remember that sports are a competition and identities should not be the same.